You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Plenty to get through today. Later on, Shaka and Stevie will be here to react to Manchester United's embarrassing loss against Crystal Palace, plus lots of positives to say about Everton. We'll start, though, with the Bundesliga, which, of course, is now exclusively here on ESPN Plus. And what a game it delivered today. Borussia Dortmund taking on Borussia Mönchengladbach. A lot of excitement, of course, around the hosts and the youth within their squad. And it'd be Gio Reyna who would open the scoring. The 17-year-old getting his first ever Bundesliga goal. A classy finish from him, making it 1-0 with 10 minutes to go in the first half. In the second half, well, Dortmund upped it to another gear. 6 minutes into this, Gio Reyna involved once again, this time winning the penalty. Initially, it wasn't given by the referee. He'd be sent over to the monitor to check. You can clearly see the trailing leg caught there. The young American goes down. The ref points to the spot. Jadon Sancho initially had the ball. Erling Haaland said, look, I want it. Sancho says, go on then. Haaland looking to open his account then for the season, and he makes no mistake from the spot. Coolly done by the Norwegian to make it 2-0. And then with 13 minutes to go here, it was from a Gladbach corner, and then look at the run that Haaland is making. Jadon Sancho with the ball here, and it's almost a race between him and Haaland, and it's the perfectly executed pass from the Englishman that finds Haaland, who finishes brilliantly. But what a counter-attack, and we're going to be seeing so much of this from Dortmund, aren't we, this season? That pace in attack is devastating. Haaland, great finish as well, which means it finished Borussia Dortmund 3, Borussia Mönchengladbach 0. Jan and Casey with me. Jan, there is something so cool about this Dortmund side. Young, exciting, vibrant, and thoroughly deserving of the win today.
I think it's very fitting that an American channel talking to a Norwegian with the American dream Reyna and Erling Haaland. Now, it was an interesting game because in the first half, I think Gladbach did well. They were standing quite high and the rhythm of Dortmund didn't work. And you saw Erling Haaland getting a bit frustrated because he wanted a ball earlier, but it didn't happen. But in second half, I mean, that was the best of Dortmund. That's how we love them. And I think the 3-0 kind of gave everything that is so exciting about this yellow and black team when he's going for the Usain Bolt record again, Erling Haaland, and Sancho just at the right moment, not even past the ball, he kind of slides the ball into him, and mind you, he has to lift the ball a bit to get it over summer, and it was a fantastic goal, and 3-0 against Gladbach, although we saw that on the poster with the possession, Gladbach did well in first half.
Let's talk about then the opening goal, Gio Reyna, 17 years of age, Casey. It just seems the perfect environment for him to grow there.
Well, and you think that the pass came from Bellingham, another 17-year-old, but yeah, it was great for Gio. I think the one thing that really, for me, that impresses me with Gio is he breaks into this side, you know, last year, coming on off the bench more often than not. But it isn't a case that he was just so nervous that it's like, okay, I'm just going to get the ball, keep possession, pass it backwards. It's like every move is looking to put the opponent's defense under pressure. So that was the opening goal. The second goal where he had the option to maybe play Haaland in, but then decides to take the defender on. And Benson Bayani brings him down for the penalty to really give Dortmund that cushion. So exciting, this Dortmund side, when they do get going. But I agree as well that Gladbach did very well, I think, in that opening 30 minutes. Caused problems for Dortmund. I thought Hoffman and Stindl and Wolf put him under this kind of pressure, and Dortmund didn't look comfortable, and Berkey had to make the good save, and after that it kind of really turned for Dortmund, and then in the end were deserved winners.
What I thought was interesting in the post-match interview, you saw Haaland with Gio Reyna, and they just looked like, Jan, they looked like a bunch of teenagers just playing with their mates.
Which they are. I mean, we saw a Bayern Munich team yesterday with some great talents as well, but here in Dortmund, they're even younger. It's more like a young dream team, so to say. You have the youngest, greatest talent from America, USA. Then you have Bellingham and Sancho, two of the greatest talents of English football. You have the greatest talent of Norwegian football, and there are some good Germans around as well. So it's just exciting to see these guys. And I spoke to our boy, Erling Haaland, after the game, and he was most frustrated that he should have more goals and that he should have the ball more. But he loved it, of course. And I think that the way suddenly now Erling Haaland, when he's 20, looks like the big brother of Reina, the big brother of Bellingham, and he's suddenly the old guy in the team. So I think both Casey and myself, I mean, my right knee doesn't miss football, but when I see these kind of interviews, when I see how they enjoy being out there, and I agree with Casey, with Reina, he's 17 and comes into the team, and every time he has the ball, he wants to do something with the ball. I mean, I just love it.
And these sort of situations we don't see very often. I think back to the Manchester United side that, of course, had all those youngsters coming through, and they were academy players as well. Similar to maybe Barcelona, they came in a little later, though, in age. Casey, like, it's very rare in football that you see such a talented group of youngsters together at such a big club.
Yeah, I think you have to give Michael Zorc a lot of credit in kind of what they do in their scouting, kind of what they do in their youth development. But in the end, what it comes down to, and you heard some of the commentary talk about that with Stefan Freund, and is you have to start winning things, though. Yeah. So, yeah, that's great coming in second a couple seasons in a row. But obviously, Bayern, after yesterday's performance, it's going to be a big task. But it's great having young players, and no question, they're filling the bank accounts when they're selling some of this talent a few years down the line. But can they bring in a German Cup? Can they really challenge Bayern for the title? You know, how are they going to do in Europe this year? So, yes, tremendous young talent. But then can they translate that young talent into some silverware as well?
Now, this is a point that you've brought up lots of times on the show, Jan. Mentally, are this team capable of bridging that gap? And I suppose, really, only time will tell.
Yes, let's call them the class of 2020. And remember when that Manchester United team broke through, I remember Al Hansen, the famous words, you never win championships with kids. They did. But we have to be fair to Dortmund as well. They are competing with the best team in the world at the moment. And at the same time, Bayern Munich have managed to get young players in their team as well, with Goretzka, with Kimmich, with Davies, and so on. Great, great talent. And maybe if you see the Bayern Munich team, the balance in their team is even better than Dortmund. Dortmund will have Can and Hummels, of course, behind there. Also Witzel in the midfield. But as Casey is saying, you have to win a title, because there will be a day, and we had Jürgen on yesterday when he said, when he played for Tottenham, he had to leave to win a couple of trophies at Bayern Munich. So that will be the big thing, and it's a big thing for Dortmund to find a balance to how long can they keep them without winning. But it was a good start, and I mean, for us who love German football, it's been two wonderful days, and we see the two youngest teams, more or less, in the world, in Bayern Munich and Dortmund, so exciting us.
We know when things are going well, everything is just sunshine, Casey. And we kind of saw that with the penalty a little bit as well. Jadon Sancho had the ball. Haaland actually said, you know, I want to take it. Sancho gave it up, no problem. That's fine in that moment, but going forward, could that be an issue? Should there not be a situation where the manager says, you're my number one, as opposed to getting the players to work it out, Case?
Yeah, usually that's the way it works. Usually there's somebody in the squad who, you know, if the circumstances are right, they're the ones who's supposed to take it. Obviously, you have that situation where maybe that player who's supposed to take the penalty, you know, is the one who got fouled. Maybe he's kind of struggling a little bit. And so then you have kind of that secondary player. Otherwise, it's one of those circumstances where we've all seen throughout the years where there's this tug of war of the ball. Somebody's supposed to take it. Somebody says, no, I'm going to score. And then when that person misses, then the trouble hits. But in the end, yes, it was amicable. You know, Holland got the ball. He finished it off, so it was no real drama. But I'm sure it's something that there'll be some discussions in the changing rooms at some stage on who is that designated penalty taker.
Cavani, Neymar, obviously, springs to mind, Jan. This is a big deal. What did you make of it?
Well, I was very nervous, as Casey said. I mean, it's all done good now when he scored a goal. I mean, if he didn't score, that could be a great problem. I think another thing you can take out of this is that Erling, he wanted to start his goal account, as any goal-getter would like to do. But I think one of the things that you can see in the Bayern Munich team, and even in Dortmund, you don't have these selfish kind of player. They love to give each other assists. Yeah. And I think that if we take the positive thing out of this, look how Sancho reacted. It was nothing like he was shaking his head or kind of doing his eyes or whatever is going on. He took it very, very professionally. And I think that they will take it from there. And then they've probably been said, normally a coach will say, Jaden, you will take the penalties. If you get fouled, maybe Erling can take it. But we don't know. Maybe the manager said, you sort it out amongst you. It's not a good thing if you doesn't score. It now is just one of those things that's happening. And they showed again there is a great team spirit. And remember, one of the first goals that Erling Haaland scored for Dortmund, young Hazard, or brother Hazard, he just get one against a goalkeeper, and he more or less gave the goal to Erling Haaland, which just showed there is a great team spirit in the team.
What was cool about that as well is, look at the third goal. Jadon Sancho runs down the field. You know, Erling Haaland is absolutely sprinting 80 yards, and it wasn't like Sancho was like, no, I'm going to be selfish and take this myself because I let you score the penalty. He was like, oh, no, I'll just set you up again for another one. So the team spirit in Dortmund must be absolutely fantastic, and it's great to see just that egoless where they're just all setting each other up to make sure that everybody succeeds.
Thank you very much, gents. So 6 games in total today in the Bundesliga, all of which, of course, you could see live on ESPN+. In case you missed any of them, I'll be showing you the highlights a little later on.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Elsewhere in the Premier League today, a lackluster performance from Manchester United, a really poor showing that saw them lose by 3-1 to Crystal Palace. And here to dissect exactly where it went wrong, Jan, Shaka and Stevie. Stevie, let's start with you. How do you sum this up for United?
You talk about a regression. You know, they were so good towards the end of last season that they end up in the top four. All the talk is of how they're going to get better, how they have got better on the field, but how they're going to make some signings and be even better. None of that has really materialised, and certainly on the field, this United side looked like the side that started last season. Such a horrendous run. I can't think of, other than De Gea, I don't think there was one player on the field actually was anything other than average at best. I mean, you talk about just a shadow of a side that actually finished last season. And the fact that you take Drogba off as well. I don't know whether he was injured. I certainly hope he was, because I think that sends the wrong message to the rest of the players and that United side. When one of the guys that you're relying on to turn things round and somehow get an equaliser is pulled off the field, I absolutely don't get it. I thought Ole got it wrong. United got it wrong from the start. I mean, every single thing was wrong. Attitude, commitment, just all the basics. And then on top of that, they were lucky not to lose 5 or 6 goals. So I think they got away with 3-1 pretty much.
Shaka, you could point to the fact that obviously they didn't really have a pre-season. Is that an excuse?
It's an excuse for the time being. but it's an excuse that a lot of teams in the Premier League can use, and rightly so. Ole said as much in his pre-game press conference that he had 2 weeks with most of his squad. Some of them were only available to him for the last 4 days. But I think that excuse, while it's valid right now, it gets old really quickly, and for all the reasons that Steve pointed out. But as good as they were back end of last season, and as much praise we heaped on them in putting together that run and in finishing third, you saw nothing of it today. And my biggest concern is, all pre-season, Manchester United have been linked with Jadon Sancho, with attacking players. Reguilón was linked with them at one point. And while we've been seeing that defensively, we think Manchester United needed replenishing, the stats didn't suggest as much, given that they were one of the better defensive teams in the league last year. But you Maguire, albeit has his off-the-field issues to contend with. Lindelof, Zaha wishes he could play against Lindelof every single week. He was having his way with him. And quite frankly, it was embarrassing. As Stevie rightly says, this could have been 4 or 5.
How much responsibility should Solskjaer shoulder for this defeat, Jan?
Well, I think the manager will always have the final responsibility for any result, really. But we, like Xhaka is saying, with Lindelof, if Lindelof is the answer, this is the wrong question, whatever you ask. Because Lindelof, together with Maguire, I mean, what a partnership. It's terrible how they're doing it at the moment. I think that the game against Crystal Palace now is a consequence of how the summer has been for Manchester United. It's hard to get out of that. Yes, they did well to take that third spot. They did well to get into the Champions League. Still, it's not a level where Manchester United see themselves. They've had a terrible summer with Maguire. They had that incident with Greenwood. And they have the world record in taking long time to get players in. And I think that all sums up. It comes back to the manager. The manager will always be the one who are responsible for anything. And what I'm afraid for Solskjaer, obviously none of us will be inside the dressing room listening to the conversations between himself and the board. But of course, a manager like Ole Gunnar sees, like everybody else, he needs to get players in. And being the kind manager and a kind person as Ole Gunnar is, the problem is kind doesn't give you any points. And who will be the first one who will be thrown out? That is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And I think that is the circle somehow he got us stuck now.
And that's what he said after the game. He said he just shows how short this team is, short in practice, short in fitness, short in preparation. But, Stevie, overall, if you look at the players that Manchester United have and the players that Crystal Palace have, Manchester United is superior on paper everywhere. So why do we see such a lacklustre performance, and how much of a pass do you give Solskjaer for that?
Well, I'll be honest, it's very difficult to give him a pass for today. You know, if you're unfit, then you would hope that it would show up in terms of running out of steam. You know, it happened to Wolves last weekend. You know, they hadn't had much of a pre-season. They came out the blocks, right, and they ran out of steam. And you could visibly see them running out of steam, even sitting on watching the TV. This United side came out the blocks, sitting back on their armchairs and letting Crystal Palace come at them. Listen, you can give 100% and run out of gas. Anybody will accept it. But Ollie shouldn't and cannot accept a team that steps on the field and just thinks it's going to happen for them, and maybe thinking they're feeling sorry for themselves because they haven't had much of a pre-season. No, it doesn't work like that. And Ollie's job, when they get on the field, is to be ready to go and give 100%, regardless of how fit they are or not. They should be ready to commit. And they weren't ready to commit. And if you give a side like Palace a 1-0 lead, they'll just sit tight, they're well organised, and they'll break. And absolutely, they deserve their victory today.
Xhaka, it's an old adage that you've used on this show quite a bit in the past. You give players an excuse and they will take it. Ollie, obviously, as you mentioned before, pre-match, talked about the lack of preparation, talked about the lack of fitness. But everyone's on a level playing field here, and there seems to be a general consensus that isn't Solskjaer's fault, that it's not Woodward who's not bringing in the sort of players that Manchester United need. But regardless of the players that they are lacking, the players that they have within that squad have got to put in much better than we saw today.
Yeah, without question. And listen, we knew that Manchester United were heavily dependent on Bruno Fernandes and what he did. And when he doesn't show up, Manchester United don't seem like they can put together a performance. Thankfully for Manchester United, we didn't see that too often until maybe the last, two or three games where I didn't think Bruno Fernandes was that great last season. But this is the first game of this one. We barely mentioned him, or I barely thought about him during the course of the game. And you see the result that they got and they deserve. United can blame Woodward for as much as they want, for as much as they like. But United fans will have you believe that Manchester United are the biggest club in English football. Now, if you look at the potential candidate for not just winning the league, for finishing top four, I could even go as far down as top six. Manchester United has easily had the worst transfer window out of all those clubs. This from supposedly the biggest club in English football. That speaks more to than one man feeling in his job. It speaks to the fact that I don't think players are that excited about coming to Manchester United to play for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. When Gareth Bale chooses Spurs, or be it his former club, over Manchester United, and it's done so easily and seemingly, as far as we can tell, not much of a whimper out of Manchester United in that regard, tells you all you need to know.
Jan?
Well, it's fair to say, and I think, again, that is the consequences of a lot of things. I watched two games today on two different TV screens. I watched Dortmund against Gladbach on the left side and Manchester United Crystal Palace on the right side. And we can talk about players all we want, but Manchester United should be up there with Dortmund. And it was unbelievable to see the lack of speed by Manchester United. When they went forward, it was slowly. They didn't have that counter ability when they got a chance to come forward. They would play the ball backwards. You saw the young American Reina always getting a ball, taking people on. I mean, that's what we was used to see Manchester United do. I was in England when that team was invincible. A game like today against Crystal Palace, and I agree, Roy Hodgson has done a fantastic job at Crystal Palace. When you are 1-0 down against them, they will find a way to kind of punish you. But when you saw Manchester United today, there was nothing that can excite you. Yes, a Jadon Sancho or another player, any player at the moment, could excite that team. But if you take man for man, and if you see that defense of Manchester United, and coming back to Lindelof, more or less involved in three of the goals. Hmm. And Maguire, I mean, where should I start? I mean, he is, sometimes we try to compare with Van Dijk, please. I mean, that is a big, big difference. So you have to cover those weaknesses. So your lack of a central defender, at least, say Maguire will be okay, he's the captain of the team. In midfield, you have no speed. You need that kind of Sancho, whatever, a striker in there. Then you expect that Greenwood would have that fantastic season again. You can't. Greenwood, everything that he will do at the moment is bonuses for you, that he will keep on doing that in the second year. So Manchester United got to speed up. They have to do better in the transfer window. But even more importantly, they have to do better on the pitch. And they should beat Crystal Palace at home. That has nothing to do with a transfer window or when we see some leaders saying that they're trending on Twitter and that it's the main thing for Manchester United. Sir Alex Ferguson must be furious, and he would probably put that mask over his eyes during the game today.
I want to talk to you about the penalty, of course. A lot of talk about it. First off, our colleague Don Hutchinson on Twitter shouting and raving. He's saying that it wasn't a penalty. It is no way. It was handball, Stevie.
Listen, if he'd been half a yard closer to IU, then I would have said 100% not a penalty. But he wasn't as close as he should be as a defender. You know, I was a defender, and if I got close enough, touch tight, and it hits me in the arm, then I feel as though I'm being aggrieved if a penalty is given. I don't think Lindelof was tight enough. If he was a half a yard tighter and it hits his arm, then it is not a penalty. So I can understand why the referee's given it.
Shaka?
Yeah, penalty for me as well. I thought it was a penalty. I didn't think or realise there was that much debate around it, in all honesty.
Jan?
Well, the handball rule is the most difficult rule in the whole world. I think they will find a cure for cancer, peace in the world, everything before handball. I mean, it's unbelievable. What happened in the old days? Either you did you made a handball or you didn't make a handball. And I mean, there are some people with ties making the rules. Get rid of them and get a proper handball rule. I mean, sometimes it's handball, sometimes not. I've given up. I've given up handball.
Palace, of course, then were given the penalty. The first one saved by David De Gea, but was made to be retaken because he was off his line. This is something, obviously, that they are going to be stringently looking at for every penalty. Stevie, right decision?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, goalies are just going to have to change the way they approach saving penalty kicks. You know, they can only go along the line. They can't take a step forward, and that's it. So when you go training with your coach, your goalie coach, and you're going to talk about penalty kicks, then you better get some work done that makes it automatic, that instead of... Listen, goalkeepers automatically go forward, and it's going to take a little bit of time for all of them to realise that they're not going to get away with it because the camera's on them. So get yourself down to training, lads, and get going side to side, and that's it. And then it becomes natural.
Oh, what a side to side motion that was, Stevie. Look at him skiing.
What? Tell you what.
Shaka?
I just renewed my membership for the Goalkeepers Union, Dan, so I'd like to plead the fifth on this one, please.
Oh, Shaka. The thing was, a lot of people were crying, weren't they?
Plead the fifth.
People were saying, well, oh, this is awful, the game's gone. But it's the law. You know it's the law. You've got to stay on the line, and that's it.
In all honesty, yes, it is. And I am biased to goalkeepers for this because I feel your natural motion takes you forward slightly. So, which is why you saw the amendment where only one foot has to stay on the line.
Yeah.
So that is understandable and as much of a middle ground as you will get. If you do come over the line, if even by an inch, as Stevie points out, there are cameras on you, you're not going to get away with it anymore. So now you have to rethink your approach. But as I said, I'm a fully paid up member. It's difficult to try and curb that. How you make a save naturally in an effort to cope with the penalty.
Jan?
Yeah, if that's the rule, it's the rule. This is the rule I can understand, I can respect that. And when I saw Stevie doing his moves there, I'm sure there are some goalkeepers all around the world who will try to make up. That was like John Travolta in Pulp Fiction. So I'm looking forward to goalkeepers never do that mistake again.
What do you think about the fact that they then changed the penalty taker? Obviously went from AU to Zaha. Is that all right? Is that fair, Stevie?
Absolutely. Well, listen, I didn't see how you... running across and saying, right, I'm taking this. He was a little sheepish. Obviously, they have a couple of penalty takers, Zaha being one of them.
Right.
And so, you know, when you miss a penalty kick, you're not exactly at your positive best. Let's be honest. So I have absolutely no problem with it. And Zaha blasted it into the roof of the net. So clearly it was the right thing to do, but I've no problem with it.
Do you have any problem with it, Jan?
No, I don't. I think that is good kind of management from the Crystal Palace players. And it's not like Roy Hodgson will have shouted in, change the penalty take. I think that is what the players do out there. And I think that was a fair thing to do. He missed the penalty and Zaha went up. And it's a bit paradox, isn't it, that Zaha get two goals and they're Manchester United then looking for that kind of player who can take people on. And then he comes back with Crystal Palace and doing that kind of a game. And like I said, VAR, we can shout and we can have trouble with it. VAR will be here as long as we live. VAR will be here. So I'm giving up on those kind of things. I think what Zaha did, he did the right thing. He took responsibility. And I think that speaks for the moral of Crystal Palace. And we will take down Manchester United losing against them. But Crystal Palace need a bit praising as well. They got 6 points over the two first games. So fantastic for Roy and his boys.
Yeah, we've got to take a moment, Stevie, to talk about Palace. Obviously, as Jan mentioned, back-to-back victories now. It's got a perfect start to the season.
This game today was absolutely the perfect storm for a side like Crystal Palace. You know, the unexpectedly, they dominate the first, 10 minutes or 8 minutes till they scored. And then from then on, Roy must have been sitting in the box going, right, you know what, all the hours we spent on the training field, moving side to side, we've got the side to side going on again, you know, keeping the ball in front of us, making the challenges, you know, blocking shots, stopping the cross, all the basic stuff that Palace and Roy do well. And then on the break, we've got more pace than we know what to do with going forward against Lindelof and Maguire. So, absolutely perfect storm. And the only problem is, there's a reason Palace were second lowest in goal scoring last year, because they can't put the ball in the net. Mm. And here we go, they've got 3 at Man United. I don't know whether that says more about Palace or Man United, to be honest.
Jan, 2 weeks to go then until the transfer window closes. What are United going to do?
Well, they did well with Bruno Fernandes. It's fair enough. They took him on, and from then and out, the rest of the season, they did well, get himself into the Champions League. I watched Borussia Dortmund today. Sancho in second half was absolutely brilliant. And we were talking about him a lot. Of course, he would be the perfect player for them. But we've talked enough about that the patience, the Manchester United fans, it's not very good at the moment. They need to see new faces, and what I lack, the lack of speed in this Manchester United team is terrible, and we have to give them that as well. De Beek scoring came on as a sub today, scoring his goals. That's good for his confidence. But this Manchester United team need new faces. They need a new centre half. They somehow got to find that one. I'm not sure who that's going to be, but they got to find one quickly.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's something we've discussed a lot. There are a lot of big teams that need centre-halves at the moment. And Manchester United, as Shaq had mentioned, don't have the appeal that they used to in the past, certainly over other teams who have been competing for titles. Well, just a reminder, ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Big game, Chelsea taking on Liverpool in the Premier League. That'll be our main focus. Be sure to join us.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, plenty of goals in the Premier League today. It started early, didn't it? Everton with a 5-2 win over West Brom. Calvert-Lewin getting a hat-trick in that game. Meanwhile, Leeds United delivered another 4-3. This time they're on the right side of the scoreline, beating Fulham. And in the late game, Arsenal with a 2-1 win over West Ham. Let's start there, shall we, boys? Stevie, goodness me, Arsenal got away with one, didn't they?
Yeah, pretty much. Two chances and two goals, and that was really the only thing that separated these two sides. I thought a draw would have been the fair result, but again, Arsenal under Arteta seemed to cross the line first, even in games where they really don't deserve it, and that's something that they haven't had for since Wenger days. So that is a huge thing to have. As far as the performance, it was pretty average. But you know what? They won the game. And that's what matters, particularly right now, before everybody's 100%, whether it's sharp or fit or team unity, whatever it may be, that's the most important thing right now, is to get 3 points, and they got them.
Why was it so average, though, from Arsenal, Shaq, given the momentum that they had going into this time?
I thought West Ham played very well indeed, in all honesty. Listen, I sat here last week and said November 1st will probably roll around and West Ham will have 0 points. I'm not quite sure I've changed my mind on that just yet, but I thought the performance, what you saw from West Ham today and what you saw last week against Newcastle was simply chalk and cheese. And I know we only two games into the season and one was home, one was away, but given given West Ham struggles at home, you just feel that this team is better set up to play on the road where they don't have to take the onus, when they can sit back and defend. They were very organized and allowed the likes of Michael Antonio space to run and run at defenders and did so very well. Once Arsenal took the lead, though, I thought they'd control this game a lot better than they did. And it surprised me that they allowed West Ham to get themselves back in the game just before halftime. They then hit the crossbar in the second half, and we could be having a very different conversation. But somehow, Arsenal take 3 points. They haven't played well against a team that make things scrappy, that prefer the game to be ugly. And I don't think we've been able to say that about Arsenal for the last two or three seasons. So you take that for what that is, in the hope that better performances come. And this maybe is a show of some newfound resolve from Arsenal.
Shaq, you don't have David Moyes' phone number, do you? Because I was sitting watching this, and when he took Bowen off and put Yarmolenko on it, the first thing that came to mind was, oh, how's this going to work out defensively? So I would love to ask him if he took Bowen off just because he had no gas left. Because I hope it wasn't for any other reason than that. Because as soon as they scored, I rewound the tape and who's in the wrong place? Yarmolenko. So I hope it was because Bowen was gassed.
The challenge for West Ham, I think, and obviously Tim will tell about this, is Moyes is going on to win the game. And he feels that game was there to be won and made changes to do that. But I fear the worst for West Ham. I honestly do. And a point at the Emirates is an outstanding point, especially when you consider the performance and result of last week. So on the one hand, I want to say, well, fortune favours the brave. But at some point, common sense has to rule the day.
Meanwhile, Everton fans have hope. Stevie, a 5-2 victory against West Brom, off the back of that victory, obviously, against Spurs in the first week. I tell you what, you haven't seen this for a while. Everton are fun to watch.
I actually can't disagree with you. This was actually really enjoyable.
Yeah.
I've never said that about any Everton. Well, that's not true. In the 80s, they had a really good side. But since the 80s, I've never been able to say that at all, ever. But I'm going to agree with you. Absolutely, they're fun to watch. You know, they've got a bit of everything. You know, they got just real solid, typical square-nosed defenders at the back. They've got some ability, some nice passers in the middle of the park. They've got two guys up front that will just harass the life out of any defence. So they're actually, I think they've got a right good mix. And yes, it's West Brom, and yes, they were down to 12, but you know what? Apart from that,
I
like watching them, honestly.
How can you be down to 12?
Sorry?
Oh, down to 12 men. You start with 13 aside. Goodness me, Stevie.
Oh, is that what I said? I beg your pardon.
Mathers is a strong suit. Oops. Mathers is not
a
strong
don't worry.
You know what I meant.
Remember that from the 4-2-2-2-2-2 days. Shaka, are you surprised how well Hammers has settled in so quickly?
I want to say yes, but I'm going to say no, because okay. I think quite... No, I say that because you never know how players are going to fit in teams in the Premier League. But quite clearly, Ancelotti is building this team around James Rodriguez. He's made him the star. He's Everton's outlet. He's not going to have to do any of the dirty work that we oftentimes ask, or a lot of teams ask of these players that takes them out of their comfort zone. So Ancelotti has done really well in building this team around James Rodriguez, in managing James as a player, and allowing him to be at his best. Now, how long that continues, and when you come up against better teams in the league, whether that turns out to be punished, you know, we wait and see. But two games in, that's been great.
Top six, Stevie?
Oh, it's a little early for that. I mean, Shag is right. That.
What if they have 13 players?
I mean, their first real test. Well, they might have a chance. Well, listen, their first real test is going to be the Merseyside derby coming up against Liverpool. So I guess save that question till then, because Because so far the games they've had, you expect them to win, certainly at home to West Brom. So it's a little early to say top six. I'm sure this side's going to finish in the top half of the table because they didn't last year. But with these signings, that should push them into that. So that's about as far as I'm willing to go right now.
Meanwhile, Stevie, how do you sum up Leeds?
I told you after the Liverpool game, Leeds are a no... You cannot afford not to watch Leeds playing football.
I know.
They get forward, they score goals, they make chances, and they're an absolute catastrophe defensively. And all of that thrown in together is goals, goals, goals. And my... What? 14 goals in two games in their matches. Don't take your eyes off Leeds.
I know they are
absolute madness.
They are box office, absolute box office, Shaka, for being brilliant going up. Right. And then just, it's like basketball, isn't it, when you're watching them?
It is, but you kind of knew that coming in with Leeds. And that's how they're going to play. Now, time will tell whether you can keep outscoring the opposition in this fashion. And I think more times than not, history has proven not. But at the time, for the time being, let's enjoy it because it's great.
Speaking of enjoyment, be sure to check out the latest edition of Extra Time, which is available over on our YouTube channel. Stevie and Shaka doing math. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Meanwhile, it's confirmed today Gareth Bale is back at Spurs. They negotiated a one-year loan deal with Real Madrid. Reguilón joining as well. Spurs, of course, in action on Sunday against Southampton. We'll be talking about that game. And Chelsea against Liverpool. That is the standout tie in the Premier League. But be sure to stay tuned as we end today's show. As always, with Extra Time, Shaka and Stevie answering your questions. Welcome in then to Extra Time. Shaka and Stevie with me to answer your tweets. The first one, will Koeman be proved wrong by sending Ricky Puig out of the club, or will it be good for the youngster to play in a club on loan to gain some minutes? Barca fans, of course, not happy with the announcement that they're looking to put him out on loan. Stevie, right decision?
Ooh, tell you what, he's made... He's... You know, generally when a manager or a coach or whoever it is goes into a new club, you're kind of finding your feet and you're trying to win people over. This guy's absolutely gone in all guns blazing, getting rid of all kinds and all kinds of players. And I think he's going to need this young guy. I think he definitely does, you know. Not just on the field, but off the field, as you said. You know, a lot of fans will already be against Koeman, but now you're sending one of their favourite heroes that they actually come and watch now because they don't have that much else to come for right now, and you're sending them out the door to somebody else. I absolutely 100% would have kept him, and I would have kept a hold of him and tried to get him on the field as much and as often as I could. So, yeah, I think it's a mistake to let him go.
He was one of the one positives, wasn't he, under Setien, Shaq? And Koeman said, oh, no, we don't need that. Off you go. Things going really well for Barca.
I know. Listen, on the one hand, you understand you want your young players to get time and how valuable that is to their own development. But on the other, for Ronald Koeman, who's, well, you would assume, still trying to figure things out, who he's got, who he can rely on, or exactly what this squad is going to look like, how his team is going to play. I think you keep all those options available until you figure that out. And if come January you realize that Fergus is not going to fit in, and I really don't need him as a thought back in September, then you send him out alone. But right now, I just think it's a little early, a little premature.
Stevie, can Manchester United retain their spot in the top six this season after looking at the competition in the Premier League?
I think I would right now say yes, they'll be in the top six. But the only way they do that is clearly by not performing the way they did at home to Crystal Palace. Ollie said they're not fit. It probably is partly one of the reasons why they didn't play so well, I agree with. But you can't lump it all onto that. So, no, I think United will finish the top six. But if you're a United fan, that was really worrying today.
Top six, Shaka?
I'm going to stay saying yes for now. But wow, Let's be honest. Of the teams that you expect to be in the top six or top eight, that was easily the worst performance we'd seen.
It's nearly half the league, Shaq.
Are we talking top six? Okay, so we're talking City.
There's only 20 teams in the league. If you're eight, right, You're nearly halfway.
Okay, but what Liverpool, City, Spurs, Arsenal, Chelsea, Wolves, Leicester. That's seven. Man United make it eight. Of that eight, that performance we saw from United today against Crystal Palace was easily the worst we've seen from any of that eight so far this season. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you're very forceful, Shaka. Very forceful today. I like that.
Stevie, Liverpool paid $45 million for Diego Jota. Chelsea signed Werner for $45 million. So why didn't Liverpool go for Werner, as the fee is similar for both?
I can only think that Frank Lampard promised Werner time on the field as a starter. Otherwise you take Werner. I mean, what else can it be?
Does Jota excite you?
It can't be anything other than... Well, straight away you go, Jota, I didn't expect that. But then you go, well, hold on a second. Oh. I didn't expect Firmino. I didn't expect Salah. I didn't expect Mane. I didn't expect James Milner. I didn't expect Wijnaldum. I didn't expect Robertson. I mean, you're going through the side now, and when all these players I've just named were signed, everybody was, well, oh, well, I'm interested to see how they do. So it's kind of the same thing with Jota. And Liverpool have got it right so many times in the recent past, mm-hmm, that you have to go, tell you what, they've obviously got a plan for him. And so we'll wait and see. If he turns out half as good as those guys I've just named, then it'll be a great signing.
Shaka, what is Haaland's ceiling?
In what, goals this season? Or just in how high he can go?
In life.
Oh, in life, I think he'd be a very successful young man. I think he's got a lot to be excited about. Listen, Haaland, as we've said before, an incredible talent. And you saw that again today against Mönchengladbach with his finish. I don't think that there's anything or any club that he does not fit into. The only thing, and we said it at the starting last season, he was a teenager, and with that comes inconsistency, and that's what you saw last season. But then you also saw...
When did you see that last season, Shaq?
See what?
Inconsistencies.
He didn't finish his season strongly at all.
I think you did all right, didn't he, after the break?
Listen, Dan, I'm telling you right now, he was inconsistent, right?
Okay, sorry.
Right.
Shaka, you're right, by the way. Some of his other... Listen, his finishing was great, but some of his other play was a bit inconsistent, no question. So,
his finishing was great, but his other play, what do you want, his defensive play?
See, that's what, see, Shaq, see what you're up against. Somebody that knows nothing about being a centre forward.
Yeah.
All he thinks is it's ball in the back of the net.
I think it's
absolute
goals.
Nonsense. Ridiculous. You've got to hold the ball up.
Yeah.
You've got to play people in.
Yeah.
You've got to make space for others. You've got to run in behind to make space
you've got to
again
be Firmino.
For others. You've got to walk the centre backs away. Aye, yeah, there you go.
There
aye.
You go.
Showing your knowledge again, Dan.
Oh, yes. Never played. Okay.
Hey,
I don't want you
Shaka.
To...
Punter alert. Punter alert.
I don't want you to name names, but I'm sure you have stories. The worst teammate you've had.
Teammate I've had?
Stevie, I always think of a goalkeeper that you talk about.
Why? A rather chubby one. Actually, there was another one. Hey, there was another. I'll tell you what, there was another guy. And I'll tell you what he did. So, whenever you went away, you always had a roommate, right? And so, this guy ended up, his roommate was one of the kids who was travelling on the trip for first time. And he told them that, when you travel away and you have a roommate, you share the phone bill.
Oh,
the guy who told them this was clearly a foreigner, and so he was phoning abroad all the time, and he took the money off the kid. He took half the phone bill when it was, so you paid your bill in the morning before you left to go to the game.
Oh.
You went down and you paid your room bill.
Yeah.
And then he made the kid give him half the money. And then the lads found out, and it was one of them. Right, came his money back or else. And he was like, I didn't know. Yeah,
because we're dating ourselves here, but of course this is pre-cell phone days, and those hotel phones were expensive.
Yeah.
It was tough, you know. That's awful.
What about you, Shaq, worst teammate?
As you said, I was trying to think about it. As you said, goalkeeper to Steve. I think I gave you this story, and I'm going to call names. At Portsmouth, we signed a goalkeeper, a Greek goalkeeper, Kostas Chalkias, who did not say a word to me. Like, it didn't say a single word. So even when I come in the morning, I would say, "Morning, Kostas." He would just totally blag me. So that became mine. That was my fun for when I came in. Every time I come into training, I would go and find him. Morning, Kostas! And he would just walk by me when I was leaving. See you tomorrow, Kostas! I remember one time we trained at Fratton Park, and me, Ricardo Fuller, and Kostas were the last three people to leave the dressing room for whatever reason. And he got up and said, See you tomorrow, Ricardo. I just walked out, just left me sitting there. It was so good. It was so funny.
Was it because obviously you were rivals in goal, or was it just because he hated you just in general?
I'm sure we had other goalkeepers. We had a Dutch guy called Harold Wapena. And we had Jamie Ashdown, I think was there as well. So, but as far as I could tell, he was all right. He was all right with them. He said hello to them. Just would not say hello to me. Wouldn't.
Anti-Trini, Shaq. That's a problem.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Shouldn't Gabriel have been given a handball for the same reason as Lindelof's was given? Shaka, do you feel that goalkeepers are at a disadvantage since strikers can do anything, but goalkeepers can't even move a millimetre off the line during a penalty kick?
I can't even think of the Gabriel handball that the question is talking about.
Yeah, he tried to duck out a challenge, Shaq, and it hit him on his arm. Yeah, I don't think that's a penalty. That's a penalty.
Right, I'm going to go with what Stevie says.
Okay, and then what about goalkeepers crying? Yeah.
Hey, that's the law. I mean, I don't know what the question is getting at here. It was even worse back in our day. And I think the difference here, obviously, is the goalkeeper's under no pressure to make the save as well. So you know, it's what am I supposed to say that, you know, goalkeepers can't move an inch? I mean, that's in law.
Shaka, final question. If you were Frank Lampard, would you play Kepa or Willie in tomorrow's match against Liverpool?
I'd play Willie. As I said before, I would have played Willie in their game last week, and Kepa went ahead and proved me right on that one. And I'd do the same again. Even though Chelsea continue to be linked with Mendy strongly, and we'll see what happens during the course of this week, you clearly have no faith in Kepa. Kepa's confidence or the little break hasn't done his confidence any good at all, and you saw that in the performance last week. Make the change. Make the change permanent. Try to find an exit for Kepa at the same time.
Stevie?
Yeah, it seems. At least with Caballero's an experienced campaigner, regardless if he's in good or bad form, he's going to turn up and he's going to be sensible and he's going to have a clear head, whereas Kepa seems to be all over the place. Mm. And clearly the back line knows that. And so when you've got a guy standing behind me where you think every time there's a shot it could go in the net, that's not a good spot to be. So I would put Caballero in goals absolutely above Kepa right now.
Great stuff, boys, as always. Thank you very much. ESPN FC returns tomorrow. Chelsea against Liverpool, of course, will be our big talking point.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.